Good afternoon. A blessed first Sunday of Advent to you all and your families. Advent has become my favorite season of the liturgical year because it brings me peace in the midst of the busyness of this holiday season and the anticipation of turning the page onto a new calendar year. Advent reminds me to slow down, to quiet my heart, and reflect on the hope, peace, joy, and love that awaits us all on Christmas Day, when we celebrate the anniversary of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Advent is also a season of preparation for the Lord's second coming at the end of time. Our early Christian brothers and sisters thought that Jesus' return would be imminent. Yet here we are, almost 2,000 years later, and we are still wondering to ourselves, when is the end of time? Well, it is not TBD, or to be determined, because God has already determined it. It is also not TBA, or to be announced, because that is up to God, not us. All we need to realize is that Jesus will come again at the end of time, because he promises that he will come again in today's gospel. For you do not know on which day your Lord will come, or for at what hour you do not expect the Son of Man will come. Until then, Christ tells us to stay awake and be prepared. My sisters and brothers in Christ, there's almost a feeling of foreboding in Jesus' message, but only because, like with Noah before the flood, our Lord wants us to have a sense of urgency in getting our house in order, in joyful anticipation of his second coming. Now you may remember in his homily on the solemnity of Christ the King, Father Charlie posed these questions for us to ponder. If our lives were to end tomorrow, what is that thing we wish we would have changed, that we would have done something different about? What is that thing that we would especially regret having done or not having done in our lives were it to end tomorrow? Might I be so bold as to tweak Father Charlie's questions just a bit and pose to you all the following question? If we were to meet Jesus tomorrow, what is that thing we wish we would have changed, that we would have done something different about? What is that thing that we would especially regret having done or not having done if we were to meet Jesus tomorrow? I believe we are in the perfect season of the year to reflect on these questions in our own lives because, as St. Paul tells us, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. A few days ago, we gathered with our families and friends for Thanksgiving, and we shared what we were thankful for. Perhaps we even thought about family members who were not there with us and why they were not there. I'm not referring to family members who are in college or the military and could not make it home for Thanksgiving, or even those loved ones who have gone to their heavenly rewards. Rather, I'm thinking about those family members who are estranged because of arguments, unforgiveness, and resentment. Well, Thanksgiving is a perfect time to reflect on all the people and things in our lives that we are grateful for. Advent is a perfect season for us to offer and receive forgiveness, to mend broken relationships, and to reconcile with loved ones and friends who are separated from us by choice. Most of all, Advent is the perfect season for us to ask God for forgiveness and receive his mercy, to restore our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to reconcile ourselves with our Father in heaven through the outpouring of grace from the Holy Spirit, and help others do the same. My sisters and brothers in Christ, this is the true miracle of Christmas, a way to enter the new year with renewed hope, peace, joy, and love. In her wisdom, the Church gives us this season of Advent to prepare ourselves, to open our hearts to the incarnate Word of God, to take a chance and risk inviting Jesus into these empty, cold, and dark areas in our lives that need healing, renewal, and restoration, and peace. I admit this all sounds like a Hallmark movie. However, it is possible with the grace of God, and St. Paul also tells us how in today's second reading. Just listen to what he tells the Romans and us. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the desires of the flesh. St. Paul writes that the flesh has desires against the spirit. The works of the flesh are obvious: immorality, impurity, idolatry, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, and the like. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, to overcome the desires of the flesh so as to inherit the kingdom of God, we must put on the armor of light. We must put on our Lord Jesus Christ. When we do, we will see others as Jesus sees them, hear others as Jesus hears them, and love others as Jesus loves them. The question is, how do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? As I reflected on this, the Holy Spirit revealed to me a nursery rhyme that I sang with my goddaughter, niece, and nephews when they were younger. I'm sure everyone here has heard of this nursery rhyme. It goes something like this: head, shoulder, knees, and toes. Once again, allow me to be so bold as to tweak this nursery rhyme a bit and say that to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we must put on Jesus' head, his heart, his hands, and his feet. Throughout the gospel, we read how Jesus goes off to a mountain or a quiet place and prays to discern his Father's will. Therefore, we put on the head of Jesus. When we put on the head of Jesus, our thoughts are always directed towards our Father in heaven, that his will be done, not ours. And we all know that the Father's will flows from his love and mercy for us, from his most sacred heart, that pours forth the water and blood on the cross for our salvation. Thus, when we put on the heart of Christ, when our heart beats as one with the heart of the Father, our will flows from a place of love and mercy. We become Christ in the world, and our head and our heart move our hands to do the will of God, and our feet to walk in the light of the Lord. We put on the hand of Christ, hands that stretch out and catch others who are drowning in their own unbelief and lack of faith, and give them hope. With the hands of Christ, we can lead others to an encounter with Jesus, perhaps at a retreat like the upcoming Welcome Weekend Retreats for men and women, where they discover that there is more to life because God created them for a reason, that they have a purpose in God's plan of salvation. Let us put on the feet of Christ, not only to walk in the ways that God instructs us, but lead others to walk in his path, to walk in the light of the Lord, so that they too might share the hope of Christ. At the beginning of Mass, we lit the purple candle on the Advent wreath. This candle symbolizes hope, our hope in Emmanuel, God with us. I want to share my hope for you and your families this Advent season. I hope that you and your families make memories of Advent that holds insights into the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and not a blur of things to do, places to go, or people to see. I hope that you and your family experience the true spirit of the Advent season, the spirit of hope, peace, joy, and love that comes from quieting our hearts to prepare ourselves spiritually and prayerfully for baby Jesus, the incarnate Word of God who became man to take our sins upon himself. I hope that you and your family are intentional in putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, head and heart directed towards God, hands and feet directed on the path leading to God, so as to grow in the virtues of faith, hope, and love, and keeping the light of Christ burning brightly for each other and the world as we prepare for the joy of Christmas. Amen.